When the subject of this instinctive trust returned to the table and sat down, Mr. Wolfsheim drank his coffee with a jerk and got to his feet. "I have enjoyed my lunch," he said, "and I'm going to run off from you two young men before I outstay my welcome."
"Don't hurry, Meyer," said Gatsby without enthusiasm. Mr. Wolfsheim raised his hand in a sort of benediction.
"You're very polite, but I belong to another generation," he announced solemnly. "You sit here and discuss your sports and your young ladies and your—"
He supplied an imaginary noun with another wave of his hand.
"As for me, I am 50 years old, and I won't impose myself on you any longer."
As he shook hands and turned away, his tragic nose was trembling. I wondered if I had said anything to offend him.
"He becomes very sentimental sometimes," explained Gatsby. "This is one of his sentimental days. He's quite a character around New York, a denizen of Broadway."
"Who is he, anyhow? An actor?"
"No."
"A dentist?"
"Meyer Wolfsheim? No, he's a gambler." Gatsby hesitated, then added coolly, "He's the man who fixed the World Series back in 1919.
"Fixed the World Series?" I repeated. The idea staggered me. I remembered, of course, that the World Series had been fixed in 1919, but if I had thought of it at all, I would have thought of it as a thing that merely happened, the end of some inevitable chain. It never occurred to me that one man could start to play with the faith of 50 million people with the single-mindedness of a burglar blowing a safe.
"How did he happen to do that?" I asked after a minute.
"He just saw the opportunity."
"Why isn't he in jail?"
"They can't get him, old sport. He's a smart man." I insisted on paying the check. As the waiter brought my change, I caught sight of Tom Buchanan across the crowded room. "Come along with me for a minute," I said. "I've got to say hello to someone." When he saw us, Tom jumped up and took half a dozen steps in our direction.
"Where have you been?" he demanded eagerly. "Daisy's furious because you haven't called up."
"This is Mr. Gatsby, Mr. Buchanan." They shook hands briefly, and a strained, unfamiliar look of embarrassment came over Gatsby's face.
"How have you been, anyhow?" demanded Tom of me. "How'd you happen to come up this far to eat?"
"I've been having lunch with Mr. Gatsby." I turned toward Mr. Gatsby, but he was no longer there.
"One October day in 1917, said Jordan Baker that afternoon, sitting up very straight on a straight chair in the tea garden at the Plaza Hotel, I was walking along from one place to another, half on the sidewalks and half on the lawns. I was happier on the lawns, because I had on shoes from England with rubber knobs on the soles that bit into the soft ground. I had on a new plaid skirt, also, that blew a little in the wind. And whenever this happened, the red, white, and blue banners in front of all the houses stretched out stiff and said, 'Tut-tut-tut-tut,' in a disapproving way. The largest of the banners and the largest of the lawns belonged to Daisy Fay's house. She was just 18, 2 years older than me, and by far the most popular of all the young girls in Louisville. She dressed in white and had a little white roadster, and all day long the telephone rang in her house, and excited young officers from Camp Taylor demanded the privilege of monopolizing her that night, anyways for an hour. When I came opposite her house that morning, her white roadster was beside the curb, and she was sitting in it with a lieutenant I had never seen before. They were so engrossed in each other that she didn't see me until I was 5 feet away. "Hello, Jordan," she called unexpectedly. "Please come here." I was flattered that she wanted to speak to me because of all the older girls I admired her most. She asked me if I was going to the Red Cross and make bandages. I was. Well, then, would I tell them that she couldn't come that day? The officer looked at Daisy while she was speaking, in a way that every young girl wants to be looked at some time. And because it seemed romantic to me, I have remembered the incident ever since. His name was J. Gatsby, and I didn't lay eyes on him again for over 4 years. Even after I'd met him on Long Island, I didn't realize it was the same man.